This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's more Joy news and views at joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you LGBT news, views, and personalities from around the world, one country at a time. It's the World Wide Way here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Thank you to the gang of Generation Next. This is the World Wide Wave live in Melbourne, Australia. I'm Tom, joined by Squirrel and Beck. This week, stopover, the Republic of Turkey. The author and social anthropologist Alice Allison joins us to speak about her book, Islamophobia in Australia, and tells us why she believes Turkey has shown a different approach to their LGBT citizens than their Muslim neighbors. But first, as always, let's get things started with some music. Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave. As promised, we are joined by Sydney-based social anthropologist, Turkish-born Alice Ajlan, who's here to tell us a little bit about her adventures in Turkey and hopefully some about her book. Welcome, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the World Wide Wave this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Excellent. Let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Now, you're from Turkey. When was it that you moved from Turkey?
I've been in Australia for almost a decade now. And I was born and grew up in Turkey, lived in Turkey for almost 2 decades.
Almost 2 decades. Excellent.
Yes.
Can you tell us what it's like to be gay in Turkey?
I am heterosexual, so I will be giving you a general information about the circumstances of LGBTIQ people.
No, that's fine.
Turkey is, as you know, is a Muslim country, and I think it's a secular Muslim country, and it's one of the most liberal Muslim country. And the sexual act between between homosexual men is not illegal in Turkey. Unlike most Muslim countries in the world. But, of course, this doesn't mean that there's any social or legal recognition of homosexuals. I think this is how they view homosexuality as a sexual act between men. But, of course, homosexuality is something beyond that. It's about identity, different gender identities, sexual orientations, and relationships. But there's no, I think, recognition of this in Turkey.
Alice, what about women?
As you know, I think generally they view homosexuality as something between sexuality between men. But there's not much about women. Yes, but I think there's no general awareness or education about what homosexuality means, or they wouldn't. I think by and large, this is not black and white, but by and large, I think they wouldn't even know what homophobia means. So there's lack of this awareness about it.
There's a lack of awareness. Are there any queer rights organizations or people working to promote awareness?
Yes, there are organizations, fortunately. I think in 1990s, two major LGBTIQ organizations were established in Turkey. One of them is Lambda Istanbul, based in Istanbul. It is the biggest city in Turkey. And the other one is Chaos, which is based in Ankara. It is the capital city of Turkey. And I think they have been doing great advocacy work, and they are networking LGBTIQ people, and they are pushing for legal change. So it's very good. I think in 1990s, it was even difficult to hold some conferences about gay and lesbian people, but then I think as a result, some of these organizations began to be established. Yeah, I think it's a great thing that they exist.
What kind of legal change are they advocating for?
Right now, I think there is no discrimination laws, so I think they are trying to push for the laws which recognize homosexuals and also laws against discrimination.
Now, as part of that sort of comes, as it always does, the fun stuff. 2003 was the first Pride held in a Muslim country. It was held in Istanbul, and it was followed in 2008 by the first gay Pride in Ankara, the capital. Yes. Now, you've been involved with gay Pride, or as we call it, something else in Sydney, but you were involved with Muslims Against Homophobia float. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and first of all, I think it's a great thing that in Turkey there is this Pride marches. And it's a great thing, and it's really extraordinary. Turkey is the only Muslim country where you can see this Pride March. I think it's very great. And about Muslims Against Homophobia, in 2011 with some Turkish friends, we just decided to form this group. And we're not religious. I think this is not a religious group, but we just wanted to make a political statement because we are aware that Muslim homosexuals, they don't have rights. And they need some support. And also we are aware of the widespread homophobia in Muslim countries and Muslim communities. So we just wanted to make a political statement about it. And also it had another purpose. We just wanted to challenge, I think, negative stereotypes about Muslims. We just wanted to show that people with Muslim backgrounds can get involved in the Mardi Gras parade to inspire, I think, others. Other Muslims to be part of it as well.
Well, thank you for that. This is the World Wide Wave. We're a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. This week we're stopping off in Turkey. If you've got any questions, we've got an expert, Alice Aslan, on the line with us. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949 if you've got any questions about Turkey. So we're going to have Alice, if you just want to hold on the line there, we're going to have our next song.
The next song is Love Me Back, and it's actually the 2012 year Eurovision entry. Last night, Turkey came seventh. So this is Ken Bonomo. No, it's not bad at all. It's actually quite a good song.
Russia came in second. They're devastated.
Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave, and for all you Eurovision enthusiasts, that was Turkey's intro song this year. They were seventh, is that correct?
Seventh, yeah.
And for the rest of us, hey, it's over for another year. But more importantly, we are joined here by Alice Aslan, a social anthropologist based in Sydney, originally from Turkey. She's been talking to us about her experiences in Turkey, and now we're going to jump to your author side. Alice, tell us about the book that you've written.
Yes, I published a book called Islamophobia in Australia in 2009. I published it because I'm an anthropologist. First of all, I'm interested in many social and political and cultural issues. And the other thing is I am from a Muslim background. I'm not religious, but still I have this Muslim heritage, and I was aware of the negative stereotypes of Muslims in Australia, like in other Western countries, especially after 9/11. So I thought it would be a good contribution to write this book. And this Islamophobia, I mean, generally means, I think, racism, a cultural racism against Muslims. I think this is generally a study about the Islamophobia within political circles and in some within the media.
Alice, did you write your book before to September 11, or was this, it's inspired by September 11, that the attitudes,
yes,
that came out of
it? Inspired by the post-September 11 circumstances, yes. I thought it would be a good thing. But now, Islamophobia generally, it happens, I think it has taken place after international conflicts, like in the past, after Gulf War and September 11, and also Bali bombings. And the Cronulla riots was a result of Islamophobia rather than something which triggered Islamophobia. So I think I have looked at all these issues in the book.
Yes, and building on that book, you're also working on a documentary about gay and lesbian Muslims in Australia. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I am working on a documentary with Alina Mohamed Ali. She's originally from a Muslim background. I think she was
on our show, yes.
Yes.
Everybody knows her, I think. And working on this documentary, and because Alina set up a online group for gay and lesbian Muslims. So I think because in Muslim community it's difficult for homosexual Muslims to come out. And so we want to inspire especially young people to feel confident and comfortable about their identity. So I think it will be a great project.
Excellent. This is Joy 94.9 of the World Wide Wave. Alice, stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk to Alice a little bit more about Turkey and specifically the Muslim attitude in Turkey towards the LGBT community. Joy 94.9. This is the World Wide Wave. We're in Turkey this week. We have the pleasure of having Alice Özlan with us, speaking about her experiences in Turkey. Now, we were just speaking about your book, Alice, Islamophobia in Australia. And along with Islamophobia is also the dreaded homophobia. And one can say that there seems to be quite a bit of homophobia generally in Muslim countries. What makes Turkey different? Why is homosexuality not illegal in Turkey?
I think homosexuality isn't illegal, but there is no recognition. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the general perception of homosexuality is a sexual act between men. So, but the society is generally conservative, so the society isn't very, I think, comfortable with sexuality in general. This is not black and white, but and also it's a very patriarchal society, and male and female, I think, roles are very strong. So these are some of the reasons it makes it hard for the social recognition of homosexuality. I think, but the situation in Turkey is much better because gay and lesbian GLBTIQ organizations can legally function, and they can, I think, organize different events, and they can work for the rights of gay and lesbian people.
Now, you were in Turkey 4 years ago, and you're describing, so it's, I know we're working with four-year-old knowledge, but if you were walking down the street, would you be able to see, say, a gay couple holding hands? Would that be accepted? Would people harass them? What is the cultural climate like?
I think in Turkey, men, two women can walk down the street holding hands and nobody would think they are lesbian.
Woohoo!
Or men would be holding hands or just, I mean, not holding hands, but they can be very close friends, like gay couples, and nobody would suspect they are homosexual. But if people find out, then I think people wouldn't be happy with it. And, of course, there's a lot of harassment of homosexual people, especially, I think, there's police harassment of especially transgender people who usually work as sex workers. I think there are some laws which are very vague, and like the public exhibitionism and indecent behavior in public spaces. And I think the police or different public officers can interpret this in a way to, I think, just discriminate against GLBTIQ people.
Alice, is prostitution legal in Turkey?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
I mean, legal, but the police still, I mean, since they are very much prejudiced, they can, I mean, find different excuses to harass, I think, to discriminate against people with different gender identities or anyone, actually.
So it's purely a social discrimination. There's no law against it. There's no penalty.
No. Mm. It's a social discrimination. And this is because of, I think, lack of discrimination laws. So I think Turkey needs very strong discrimination laws. I'm hoping that it will happen someday. But also the interesting thing is, for instance, there's a very popular transgender singer. Everyone loves her, and she's quite wealthy and famous. And but she's a powerful figure. But on the other hand, I have read in a Turkish newspaper, that there's a man living in a small village in western Turkey. And this is, of course, villages are always more traditional and more conservative. And this is this man is a transvestite, actually a woman in the body of a man. So he dresses like a woman. At the beginning, I think the villagers didn't treat him well, but after a while, she was very determined and eventually made them accept her. So this is, I think, extraordinary. I mean, there is much hope, and, you know, if people are determined, they can change things, I think, in Turkey.
Ah, nice ones. There you have it. Even in a small village in western Turkey,
yes,
there is hope.
This is extraordinary. I mean, on the one hand, you know, there's police discrimination and so on, or the general lack of acceptance. But on the other hand, you see just one man who changes things, you know, the changes social expectations. So it's incredible.
That's right. One man changing social expectations.
Yes.
Nice. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say? I know that you've been very generous with your time, but before we go to the next song, did you have any last thoughts on Turkey and homophobia?
And I think, as I mentioned before, the GLBTIQ organizations are doing a great job, and they are organizing this Pride March, and they were, at the beginning, only 50 people, but now there are, I think, every year more than 10,000 people join these marches. And I think there is great hope, and I'm hoping that everything will change in Turkey.
There is great hope. There is possibility of change. And once again, Alice Oslin, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Alice, a Sydney-based author and social anthropologist, telling us about her thoughts on Turkey. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Kiss Kiss. We're back on the World Wide Wave. We're the show that takes you from country to country. We're talking about news and views and issues that interest you. Today we're in Turkey. And we just heard the song Kiss Kiss, and that was by Tarkan. But I actually didn't tell you that was by Tarkan because it was a mashup. It was Tarkan and it was Holly Valance. Remember Holly Valance from Neighbours?
No.
Okay. Not many people would probably remember her. So the Tarkan version came out in 1999. I was in Turkey at the time and it was the biggest thing ever. It was in every nightclub. And then a couple of years I came back to Australia a couple of years later and Holly Valance released it in English. So that was the mashup of the English-Turkish version.
So here's a random trivia question that has nothing to do with Turkey. I want to know how many people did Neighbours produce that went off to music careers? That's my random I wasn't born in Australian and I want to know question.
Countless.
We can look that up later. Or
well, give me a guess. More than three?
Oh, stacks, more than three. I'd say 10.
Can you name three off the top of your head?
Oh,
Kylie doesn't count.
Kylie doesn't count.
Nelly
and Brulia. Holly Valance.
Kylie counts.
Delta.
If you want to sing, get on the show. But that's not for now. We are focused because this week we are talking about the Republic of Turkey.
Tell us about the Republic of Turkey, Tom.
Well, of course, we know that it is a Eurasian country located on the crossroads of Europe and Asia. We've been talking about how in Turkey there is no specific law that makes homosexuality illegal. In fact, same-sex going-ons, so to speak, has been legal since the Ottoman Empire. So we're going back more than a few years.
Love the Ottomans.
Let me get this straight. Again, before the white man invades.
Correct. 1858 is actually when
the
same-sex...
Turkish must have been pretty good fighters because they managed to hold on to gay being okay.
There you go. I like that thought process. Of course, we've heard that Turkey does not recognize same-sex marriage, civil unions, or domestic partnerships. The Turkish Council of State has ruled that homosexuals should not have custody of children. However, there's no official law that says they can't. It's just sort of the general proceeding right now. That's not happening. But in my fun fast facts, I did find some interesting fun fast facts. Now, military. In Turkey, it is compulsory military service, which means that all Turkish male citizens between the age of 18 and 41 have to sign up. It's conscript. You got to go out. You got to fight for your land.
The whole time?
For how long? Yeah.
I don't know. Usually like a year or two. But between the ages of 18 and 41, you're required at some point to go and give your service. However...
comma.
the Turkish military openly discriminates against not just homosexuals, but specifically passive homosexuals.
So if you're openly gay...
No.
They don't discriminate you against
you. No. You know that, like, if you don't push back, you're not gay kind
of
thing?
Oh, yes, right.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes, that's right.
It's
so
okay to be an act.
No passive homosexuals need apply. However, active homosexuals and bisexuals can serve in the Turkish military. Not openly, but you can serve.
But passive ones... Well, who...
Now...
I see that. If you're going to have a military filled with, like, military-type personas...
Don't go there, squirrel. Okay. Stop the conversation.
I was waiting for the SMS to just start firing off.
Now, it is unfortunate. The Turkish military considers passive homosexuality as a physiosexual illness and identifies them as unfit for military service.
Whoa.
So basically what these poor guys have to do is you got
to
go, I'm sick. You think that would be enough? Do you think that's enough to get out of the military? No. What do you think they have to do, these poor passive guys,
desk
to get
jobs.
Out of the military? No. You can't even do a desk job because you're not allowed in the military.
Right.
But you have to prove that you're passive.
Does this involve, like, gloves and a doctor?
Well, if that involves photographic evidence of that, you're on the same page.
No way.
That's right. There are actual reports that the military
evidence.
Requires photographic evidence. Evidence
to get out of service
of you being passive, basically,
because otherwise your mother, whomever, might be like, "I'll just tell him you're a passive gay.
Exactly,
we'll be fine."
Exactly. Exactly. So, there you go. I didn't know
do
what to comment.
Do people use that excuse?
Dumbfounded.
It has to. They must use the excuse because the human rights organization has it on their books that there's been more than one case that these poor guys have had to go through this. And let's face it, it's a humiliating thing. I mean, if you had to show photos of yourself doing something just to not have to do something, that's just sad. That's really unnervingly sad. But yeah, there you go.
Wow.
I just didn't know what to say. I thought I'd bring that up and throw
that
out
for
conversation.
Well, I'm glad it's on the Human Rights Watch. Because you think about it, it's almost the equivalent of saying, like, oh, you know, you can only serve if you're a virgin. And if you're going to tell us you're not a virgin, you need to show us photos. I mean, it's just as bad that they're just saying, you need to show us photos.
Correct.
I find it interesting that it doesn't apply to women.
I'm not sure. Now, of course, I didn't look for this specifically, but I don't know if women can serve or if they can serve. It's not quite the same serving, like they're not in the trenches sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's a very Western approach to military, and that's I'm just throwing my opinion out there. No, I don't think that's the case.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, offhand, if they're not going to let passive men serve, why would they let women serve? Just a thought. If you happen to know anything about the Turkish military, feel free to let us know. Or if you have any other questions, onair@joy.org.au or SMS us at 0427JOY949. Tom, do you have any more fun fast facts for us?
I have a positive, upbeat note. And we've been constantly, or at least on several occasions, we've said that Turkey has a little different approach than the rest of its Muslim neighbors. It's getting good. It's really getting good. Even though they have no law that says it's illegal, they basically run around. It's hush-hush. There are some organizations in the major cities. We've heard that, you know, a small village is turning society's eye. That was amazing to hear. But specifically, in September of 2011, Turkey's Minister of Family met with LGBT organizations. Apparently, they have a minister specifically for families. That representative met with LGBT organizations. And as an outcome of that meeting, this minister submitted a proposal for the acceptance of LGBT individuals into the new constitution that Turkey's parliament is currently writing.
What a champ.
That minister is quoted as saying, "If freedom and equality is for everybody, then sexual orientation discrimination should be eliminated and the rights of these citizens should be recognized."
Yay. Can we get him to come over here and speak to Julia?
It is actually a she, but I would very much like to get her number and have a little chat with Julia.
So you're
Julia
telling me that
info.
This Turkish minister is more liberal than our prime minister?
Pretty much.
Sweet as. Hey, speaking of, let's hit a song.
We've got Araba by Mustafa Sandal, and we've got another Mustafa Sandal coming up, a song coming up later.
Mustafa, I like it.
Sandal, like sandal. Here on the World Wide Wave. Let's listen to another song before we go straight to Is a Yanka. So how about we hear a bit of that Kuzu Kuzu? Can you tell us about that?
That's another song by Tarkan, who we heard earlier, saying Kiss Kiss, and Holly Valance did that English version. This is Tarkan again with Kuzu Kuzu.
Was he on Friends?
He was on Friends.
On
or
Friends?
Neighbors.
Neighbors.
Neighbors. You know him.
Back on the World Wide Wave. We're talking about Turkey today. And Tom, you've got a bit more information about what it's like to be... Is it conscripted? No, it's not called conscripted.
Conscript.
Pink certificates.
Conscript. Yeah. It means you legally have to serve in the military. Yeah. Something that's dying out in many Western countries, but still exists elsewhere. Now, we brought it up that to get out of the military, they do let the Turkish military, they do let passive homosexual males out. And we kind of had a chuckle, and it was kind of funny to think that, oh, you know, you've got to, you know, show this YouTube video of you doing something that you wouldn't want anyone to see. But it's unfortunate that the ramifications of this are huge. And I noticed when I was doing my research an article by the BBC News. And in this article, they interview someone who used this to get out of the Turkish military. He is a homosexual male. He didn't want to serve in the military, but it was so strict. He says that it must show your face in the photo, and it must show you being the passive partner in the action. And then he was given his quote-unquote pink exit card, but that came at such a high cost because the military kept possession of those photos, and they didn't, unfortunately, just file it away in a file cabinet somewhere and forget about it. No, they decided to humiliate this young man, and they showed those photos to his family and his friends and his village. That's not really a polite way to excuse yourself from military service. It comes at a huge cost. And I can only imagine that would leave so many people just to keep quiet.
And join the military.
Exactly. Yeah. And be part of an organization that clearly doesn't want them to be there.
And yet, Istanbul still has Gay Pride Parade. It's going to be its 10th anniversary parade this year. And some of these guys that submitted their pink certificates are actually going to be marching in that parade. So we see... It's one of the most open Muslim societies, countries, and yet at the same time, literally, this we've got online here, this one man went in, and they made him take a personality test. He had to answer questions. He had to submit graphic photos, and one photo didn't have his face showing, so he had to resubmit the photo, which they then kept, and like you said, could show to anyone if they wanted. They then asked him about the type of sexual activities he took place in, types of toys that he played with when he was a child, mind you, we're talking Barbie dolls, asked if he liked football, whether he wore women's clothing, used women's perfume. Because he had a beard, they said that he didn't quite qualify as a normal gay man. They were a little dodgy about this.
Hold on. Beards. Gay men can't have beards.
According to the Turkish military, that's not what a normal gay man should have. Nice beard, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, interesting. They've defined it almost based on stereotypes.
Without question, stereotypes.
Yeah, and yet people are getting pink certificates and meeting these stereotypes.
Scary. Sad thing to see. But as we were talking about earlier, things are looking better. There is a positive note with that Turkish minister bringing forth the rights all the way up to the country's parliament. They're talking about it. And as we always say on this show, that's what brings about change, talking. And when government actually sits around and talks...
And has a minister that's more liberal than the one we have now.
Yes, there are small joys in the world.
Fantastic. Okay, so... We've learned about Turkey, and we heard about Alice. Alice had a website, didn't she?
She did. It's called www.islamophobia. So that's
.com, .au. And I'm pretty sure that's going to talk about her book, which we spoke about,
yep.
Islamophobia in Australia.
And you can get the book on the website.
Perfect.
Yep.
And you can probably learn a little bit more about Alice, our wonderful guest who was speaking to us about Turkey.
Let's hear a bit of Turkish house music.
This Ooh.
Is, yeah.
I'm excited. Can you tell? Sorry, go ahead.
Let's have a dance. This is called Barak Beats, and it's from this year.
I like it. I like it already.
We're back on the World Wide Wave. Today we're talking about Turkey. I've got a story about a film. It's called My Child.
Is it a good film?
Well, I haven't seen the film.
Is it actually a Turkish film?
It is.
Yes.
Now, it actually hasn't come out. It's been a year in the making.
Ha-ha.
It's still in the closet.
Okay, so this Turkish film is still in the closet.
Yeah. So hopefully it will be finished. It's due to be finished in May, this month. They've got a couple of days to finish it.
All right.
And it's due to come out of the closet in June, next month.
What's the name of the film?
It's called My Child. So it's about, it's put together by a group of parents of LGBT kids in Turkey.
In Turkey?
Yeah. And they're very concerned about the climate, I guess,
homophobia
in modern Turkey that's clashing with their customs and their old world Turkey that the parents have kind of grown up in. They're fearing that their children are being caught in this clash of worlds.
Interesting.
It is interesting. So the parents are supporting the children.
Yes.
And in the old days, because we learned that back the Ottoman Empire, like homosexuality is not illegal in Turkey at all. It is legal. And so these parents are open-minded and wishing the best for their children.
Correct.
Oh, that's a nice movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope they work hard these next 3 days.
Yeah, I think they've found it difficult to finance, but hopefully they're managing to do that. And they're taking it into they took it to Parliament in January.
Turkish or Australian?
Turkish Parliament. Parliament. Yeah. Nice. Maybe it will make it to Australian.
Maybe that person who gave the speech has a gay kid.
Possibly. Yes.
There you go. You're talking about unreleased news, perhaps.
Well, because remember when we talked to the American Consul General and he said, everybody has somebody in their family who's gay. And I was like, well, do you? And he's like, yes.
That's true. I do recall that.
Mm. Excellent.
So, My Child, keep your ears and eyes peeled.
All right. In the meanwhile, let's hear from a couple of my sponsors.
You're back in the worldwide wave. We're talking about Turkey today. And we just want to thank Tristan, who called in and said he's enjoying the show, drinking a ice-cold beer.
Aw, thanks for that, Tristan. That's right, the worldwide wave has been in the Republic of Turkey tonight. We've learned that while homosexual acts are not illegal per se, it's not necessarily something that is accepted generally. It is a Muslim country, conservative attitudes, things that they are changing and they are looking good, as that minister just last year in 2011 has proposed
and
to
the
change
parents.
The constitution. And the parents of these children growing up in LGBT family, they're making a documentary, a film about that, also opening the light on the situation. Very encouraging. We'd once again like to thank our guests for taking some time speaking with us, speaking with you. Yes, that is Alice. Alice is a social anthropologist. I really enjoy saying that. A social anthropologist from Turkey, based in Sydney. She was speaking about her book. If you'd like to find out more about Alice or her book, of course, that is islamophobia.com.au. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our Facebook page. Again, suddenly I can't speak. That's Worldwide Wave, one word. If you want to know more about Joy, that's joy.org.au. If you want to reach us now, if you want to reach us later, our web address or email, I should say, worldwidewave@ymail.com.au.
I always forget the ymail part.
I always forget the fact that we have tweeting abilities. Do you remember the tweeting ability, Squirrel?
W3Joy. At W3Joy.
Oh, there's an app there. Cool. Thank you very much for joining us this week. I believe next week we have another exciting country for you, as always.
I think we're in Iraq next week.
Iraq, join us next week. And as always, thank you for riding the worldwide wave.
Here's Barack Beats Part 2.
Want to talk to us at Worldwide Wave? Email us at worldwidewave@ymail.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.